Tonight we are going to enter into our study with the children of Israel and their kings. We just completed the era where the judges were in rule and they were corrupt, and we had studied the cycle of sin that the children of Israel are engaged in, and all the nations around them had kings. So they wanted to join the crowd, and they wanted a king. The king was Jehovah God, but they didn't accept that. They wanted a human king. So for the next several weeks, we are going to look at 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. I have put together a Excel sheet concerning all the kings, and I related them to the different prophets that was associated with them, and some information concerning their reigns. I combined several different charts, and I'll share that with you when we get to Kings. Tonight, we're going to look at 1 Samuel. And we see that 1 Samuel, man had broken the scroll into 31 chapters. And the key thought of 1 Samuel is God is rejected. Children of Israel didn't want God as their king, and they wanted a human king. What we see in the content of this book, we see Samuel's life, and he was the last judge of Israel. And Saul was appointed the first king of the United Kingdom of Israel. After his, in 1 Samuel, we're going to see that David is going to succeed his son. And his son took the throne and wasn't anointed as king, but he did, because he thought it was his right. But David was God's chosen one to succeed Saul. And we're going to see in 1 Samuel the life of David as king. And one of the key lessons of this particular book is sin's consequence is misery. Throughout what we have studied so far, we see that sin had separated children of Israel from God. And God, being patient, being long-suffering, always welcomed them back when they repented. So sin has its consequences, and we're going to see that in 1 Samuel. We also like to point out that Jesus, in the book of 1 Samuel, he is the prophet, he is a priest, and a king. That's Jesus. So when you study or read the book of 1 Samuel, put in your minds that, Jesus supersedes these human kings. As we progress in the story of the kings, we're going to see that God recognizes David, even though he was sinful, like you and I. But he was a man after God's own heart. So we see that in 1 Samuel, in the first 7 chapters, it deals with Samuel as a prophet and a judge. In chapters 8 through 15, the children of Israel demand a king, a human king. They want to be like all the other nations. And God raises up David to be the king of Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 16 through chapter 20. In the remaining part of 1 Samuel, Saul hunts David out of jealousy. He lost favor from God because of his sin. Because he wanted man to recognize him rather than do God's will. And David, being God's chosen one to lead children of Israel, he was so upset with that and jealous, he was going to hunt him down. And that's in the last 10, from chapters 21 through 31. And the book of Samuel was originally one work that was later divided into two particular books. We don't know who had written this particular book. It seems like it was attached to Samuel because the role he played in the early chapters of the book. And Samuel is described as an old man in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1, and he was dead in the 25th chapter, in chapter 1. So, which have been long before many of the events of 1 and 2 Samuel took place. We read in 1 Chronicles, chapter 29 and verse 29, that the name of Samuel and his prophetic successors, Nathan and Gad, they could have written this particular book. We don't know. It's not specified for us in 1 Samuel. But when you read about the kings from 1 Samuel through 2 Chronicles, you look at a real good commentary, and that's Chronicles. The chronological Chronicles 1 and 2 basically is your commentary on the kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, and also 1 and 2 Kings. First Samuel chronicles the beginning of Israel's monarchy, following the lives of the prophet Samuel, the ill-fated King Saul, and God's ultimate choice of David as king. We read in 1 Samuel that Saul, the first king, though head and shoulders above the rest, did not have a righteous heart. And his line was destined never to inherit the crown. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 15, and also verse 35. God instructed Samuel to anoint David, the youngest son of Jesse of Bethlehem, as the next king. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Did you have a question?
No, it's interesting that Saul's son Jonathan knew he was not going to inherit the kingdom, that David was God's chosen replacement.
And the reason for And the reason for that was Saul's sin. He was looking for accolades from man rather than doing God's will. And it's so clear when you look at God's will, what he expects from individuals. Even you and I today, we as Christians should be walking in a right relationship with God all the time. And you know, you look at David's life, he sinned. He murdered someone or had someone murdered. He committed adultery. But yet God had chosen David, a sinner. Last week we went through the genealogy of Jesus, and we found that there were several ladies that were, their reputations weren't great, but yet they are included in the lineage of Jesus. We are sinners. And God gives us the opportunity to make that right, to correct our lives. And we, as long as we live on this earth, we should take advantage of that and put God first always. 1 Samuel contains the stories of Samuel, the prophet, King Saul, and King David's trials before he was a king. Samuel, as a boy, heard God's voice. And the people demanded a king because of all the surrounding nations had one. They wanted to be just like the other kids on the block. We see in 1 Samuel that David kills Goliath. And that's recorded for us in the 16th and 17th chapters. And Saul, being an upright individual who was more concerned about what people thought about him and what he projected to other people, he called upon a witch to bring the prophet Samuel back to life so he could ask him some questions. He was going into witchcraft. God doesn't like that. We also see in the book that this guy, Eel, he was a high priest and a judge of Israel. When we went through the book of Judges, we had included Eel and Samuel at the end. They weren't in the book of Judges. We read about them here in 1 Samuel. And he was not faithful in serving God and the people. Very corrupt. But God allowed this. We see in the book of Samuel that he was born to Hannah and a barren woman. And after she prayed to God, Eel asked God to help her. And Samuel was dedicated by his mother to God. So Samuel was in God's service. And at one point, the Ark of God was taken by the Philistines, causing their idol Dagon to fall and be disgraced, 1 Samuel chapter 5. Samuel became judge of Israel, 1 Samuel chapter 7. And when Israel defeated the Philistines at Masper, a place that Samuel named Ebenezer, which means the stone of hell, the people again insisted on having a king. And Samuel finally picked Saul, the tallest man, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2, who was made king at Gilgal, 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 15. And Saul made a mistake by personally making a burnt offering instead of letting Samuel do it. thus requiring his destiny to end. So again, he was taking matters into his own hands. Saul. And that didn't sit right with God. What about today when we sin? When we decide to do things contrary to God's will? It causes you and I to be separated from God. Paul says it great in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. A spiritual separation from God. And Saul, while he thinks he's above everybody, he decides to do his own thing. And when we go through the rest of the kings, we're going to see that there was only a handful of kings that were good. A lot of them were bad. Saul started out good, but yet he reverted to sin. Well, what about David? Well, he sinned, but yet he repented. His heart was turned back to God because of his attitude. And that's something that is a lesson for us today. Where is our attitude when it comes to putting God first? Samuel served the people as a prophet and a judge. He spoke the word of the Lord to the people and taught them how to live as the people of God. We have God's word to guide us in our lives today. And it's up to you and I to make sure that we incorporate that in our lives. When Samuel grew old and Israel's enemies attacked, the people demanded that Samuel appoint a king. They're looking at Samuel, who was very old, and he couldn't lead the people, but they wanted somebody to be strong for them, just like the other nations. So Samuel advised the people to trust in God and not in human leadership. Put your trust and hope in God. We look at Moses. He relied on God until he sinned. And that denied him the right to go into the land of Canaan. We look at Joshua, another leader, who entered the land of Canaan. And he said, I will stand up for God, him and his whole family, the 34th chapter of Joshua. But then again, when God had told the children of Israel to destroy all the living animals, humans in the land of Canaan, Joshua allowed the Canaanites, who heard about the God of Israel and promised their allegiance to him. Rather than consult with God, Joshua made that decision. Again, we are humans. We make mistakes. And it's recorded in the Bible that these individuals made mistakes. And when you put your trust in the human leadership, Samuel was telling them not to do that. But they didn't listen. They were determined to have a king rule over them and deliver them from the enemy. If they go back in history, they could see that all the battles that they were in, God was with them. And when they decided to step out and do their own thing, they lost. They didn't look at history. We are very privileged that we have the opportunity to look at the Old Testament. We can look at how the first century Christians in the New Testament dedicated their lives to God. We hope and pray we can learn from that. So God gave them a king, and that was Saul. Saul ignored the word of God, the word of the Lord, and craved the approval of men. How does that relate to us? When we allow our jobs to be more important than putting the Lord first. When we allow accolades from other people in the world to be ahead of the Lord. Saul, he disobeyed God several times, overstepped his duties, and put the people at odds with God and each other. When you look at the history, and we see that when they go into Babylonian captivity and they're released, they forgot God. One of the prophets reminded them of the word of God. We should always put God first. Now, King Saul did not keep the law of Moses and did not direct the Israelites to live as God's holy people. So God corrected the problem. Gave him David. So when you look at Saul, Saul is a study of a wasted opportunity. Here is a man who had it all. He had honor, he had authority, he had good looks and more. But yet Saul, he died in despair. Terrified of his enemies, and knowing he had failed his nation, his family, and his God. How awful is that at the end of your life when you don't put God first? How tragic is it in our lives when we don't put God first? We see in 1 Samuel David's exploits as a young musician, a shepherd, and also a warrior. Now here's a guy who was little. He didn't have much stature like Saul, but yet he was a warrior. And we'll find out as we look at 1 and 2 Samuel of the prowess of David as a general who leads the children of Israel. We witness David's victory over Goliath, and that's found in the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. He develops a deep friendship with Jonathan, Saul's son, chapter 18, verses 1 through 4 in 1 Samuel. He's growing in his military prowess. Chapter 18, verses 5 and 31. And he waited patiently for the throne, often pursued and driven into hiding by Saul. So we see that David, in this time of his life, God accepted him as king. And when Saul heard about it, he was very jealous and pursued him. I wish we had more time to go into this particular book and study, but we don't, because we're just doing an overview. We're going to try to hit every book so that we will get a fundamental knowledge of what's in God's word. And the book concludes with David of Saul's death chapter 31, verses 1 through 13. It's very tragic when you read that, which serves as a natural dividing marker between 1 and 2 Samuel. So God sees the heart and saw David as a man after his own heart. Can I get someone to read 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, please?
But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you.
Thank you very much, Di. So David is a man after God's own heart. Where is your heart today? Where do you put God in your life? Follow David's example. And the humility and integrity of David, coupled with his boldness for the Lord and his commitment to prayer, set a good example for all of us. We as Christians are committed to serve the Lord, and we should follow David's lead and put God first. In this particular slide, I have the reign of Saul, which lasted 40 years. And it's important to know the prophet that's associated with him. And there's some scriptures that will corroborate that. But his son Ish-bosheth, he thought the throne was his because of his father. But yet, he declared himself king, but was never anointed by Samuel. So he was bad. We come to David, who was a good king. His reign lasted 40 years. And he brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. However, when he wanted to build the temple, God said to him, look, you have too much blood on your hands from the battles you've been in. You could draw up the plans, but your successor, that's Solomon, will build the temple. When we look at Solomon, and we'll talk a little bit about that in 2 Samuel, and in Kings, we're going to see that he started out as a good person. He asked God for wisdom. Instead of monies and riches and everything, he just wanted wisdom so that he could lead. He could be that example of God. He could have the wisdom to properly worship God. But we know what happened to him. Well, he started building the temple, and he started acquiring all these wives and concubines, and with the influence that these foreign women had on him, he turned away from God. So he started out as good, but yet he was evil, he said. This is a chart under the United Kingdom. That's when all the tribes were together. And after Solomon, we're going to see a split, the divided kingdom, Judah and Israel. And we'll look at that particular slide in a couple of weeks. Can I get someone to read 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7, please? Thank you, Ruth. So we see that Samuel was upset because they wanted a human king. And God comforts him and said, look, they're not rejecting what you're saying. They're rejecting me, God, as their king. We see sin, Satan, trying to pull people away from God, and he's doing a good job. Children of Israel, after all that God had done for them, they wanted a human king. Can I get someone to read 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, please?
But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as a man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Thank you, Ann. So we see that God looks at the heart of the individual. He looks at your heart and how you live your life. He looked at David's heart, and he knew David's heart. He sinned just like you and I. But yet he had a pure heart. He recognized his sins and repented from those things. God chose David as next king of Israel. Like I said a little earlier, we looked at David and Goliath, and that's in the 16th and 17th chapters. And he was a young shepherd boy. He was brave, strong. But more important, he had the favor. He was favored by the Lord. That's the key right there. He put his trust and hope in Jehovah. And David played the harp for the king of Saul when Saul had the spirit from the Lord tormenting him. Goliath was a champion of the Philistines, a giant over 9 feet tall. Boy, I tell you, I watch so many basketball players from 7+, and they don't even have to jump to dunk the ball. And going back yet to this, Goliath challenged that the battle of the Philistines and the Hebrews be a single combat of one Israelite and himself. And David accepted that challenge and killed Goliath using a sling to throw a stone at Goliath's head. And that's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 48 to 51. David became well known and was honored with a song in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 7. Saul had slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands, which made Saul very angry. Here's a musician, a shepherd boy, who was lucky to kill Goliath. But yet, Saul missed the picture. The picture was that David revered God. And Saul wasn't doing that. We read again in 1 Samuel that David became the blood brother to Jonathan, King Saul's son. And he married King Saul's daughter. Saul decided to kill David and pursue him over the land twice, 1 Samuel chapters 24 and 26. David spared Saul when David could have easily killed him. He had compassion. He had pity for him. Again, he was a man after God's own heart. And Saul consulted a medium at Endor in the 28th chapter of 1 Samuel. And on Mount Gilboa, Saul was wounded by the Philistines. He felt like he was a disgrace. His sons were killed. So instead of surrendering, instead of being humiliated by the Philistines, Saul asked his cupbearer to kill him. He didn't want to do that. So Saul fell on his own sword, and the cupbearer killed himself. And the men, his men, his valiant men, found him and burnt his body and the body of his sons. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 12. The first 13 verses of chapter 31 are really good to read and understand what's going on in Saul's mind. He was defeated. He was going to be taken away and chained and probably killed. He didn't want to have the Philistines do that. So he killed himself. Unbelievable. So God keeps his promises and expects us to keep ours. God promised Hannah blessings and gave her a child. She kept her word and gave Samuel back to God. The Lord gave Saul a great victory over his enemies, but Saul disobeyed God. He wanted human homage as opposed to giving God the glory. We see that. We have seen that in Exodus with Moses. When he decided, well, look, you guys are hassling me. I'm going to strike this rock twice and you can drink. God didn't tell him to do that. And that action, that sin, the consequences of it, denied him the right to go to the land of Canaan. And God always is faithful to his promises. And he knows people will not always keep their promises to him, but he does want them to do so. He understands you and I. He understands our heart. But it's up to us to put God first and do the best we can in our Christian walk of life. We also see that God wants people to form good friendships. We see an example of this with Jonathan and David. They were best friends. They had a covenant friendship. And Jonathan saved David's life. And when Jonathan was killed in battle, David took his friend's son and raised him. God wants people to have a strong, fulfilling friendships that glorify him. We should build on relationships to bring our friends and neighbors to the Lord. God's insight differs from man's insight. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, Davis was the smallest and youngest of his brothers, unimpressive to the world around him. God chose David to be king of Israel, to work through him, and ultimately to continue the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that will lead to the birth of Christ. David did what God asked of him. And we look at his life in 1 and 2 Samuel, we know he sinned. But yet he repented. In Hannah's prayer, we see several prophetic references to Jesus Christ in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I like to read. I like to have someone read verse 2. She extols God as her rock. Can I get a volunteer to read 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, please? Thank you, Eileen. So God is our rock. And Hannah saw that. What about Jesus? He's a rock of offense to the Jews. In Romans chapter 9, verse 33, just as it is written, "Behold, I laid in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And he who believes in him will not be disappointed." We have our trust and faith in God. And also Christ is the spiritual rock who provides spiritual drink to the Israelites in the wilderness, just as he provides living water to our souls. Can I get someone to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, please? Thank you, Faye. So we see that Jesus is the living water for you and I. We should emulate Christ in our lives all the times. And we see in John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Here's Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman. He was looking for water, but yet, in reality, he had the spiritual water for this individual, a sinner. And Jesus is seeking out sinners, just like he sought out you and I. Again, in Hannah's prayer, we see the Lord will judge the ends of the earth. In verse 10. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please? That is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. Thank you. And we see that Jesus, as a Son of Man, who will come in glory to judge everyone. Nobody's going to escape that. Nobody's going to escape the judgment seat of the Lord. We read in Matthew chapter 25, in verse 31 and 32. "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the sheep separates the sheep from the goat." So when you look at this picture of the judgment seat, we are all going to be accountable for everything we have done. Good and bad. And God knows what we have done. And we hope and pray that we're on the good side by repenting of those things that are bad. We also see in 1 Samuel that David had prophetic sanction by Samuel, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13, can I get a volunteer? That one, please.
"Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Rahab.
Thank you very much, Carol. So Samuel anointed David. We see that Jesus had prophetic sanction by John the Baptist. And the Spirit of the Lord descended upon Jesus. Can I get a volunteer for John chapter 1, verses 28 through 31? Through 30, please. Sorry, made a mistake on that slide. John chapter 1, verses 28 through 30.
These things took place in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Chapter 1?
Yes, 1.
Okay. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on whom, on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me."
Again, John the Baptist, thank you, Ron, is corroborating Jesus as the Lord. Again, we see the same thing in Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That must have been an awesome sight for John the Baptist to experience, to see. A dove came out of heaven and his voice said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom in you, I am well pleased." We also see in 1 Samuel that David was rejected by his own men. Even at a time when he needed his warriors, his friends, they turned their backs on him. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 12, then David said, "Will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will surrender you." So his own men turned on David. That's when you trust in human people and in humankind. And Jesus was rejected by the Israelites. When you look at what David undergone, you look at Jesus the Christ when he was here on the earth. His own people turned their backs on him. Can I get a volunteer to read John chapter 19, verse 15, please?
So they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar."
Thank you, Di. So we see that when John recorded this, the people of the children of Israel didn't want Jesus as their king. And they said, "We have no other king but Caesar." But yet, they're rejecting God. Something for us to meditate on, to consider in our lives. Where do we put God in our lives? We hope and pray that he's first in our lives. Next week, we are going to continue our study in 2 Samuel. Again, we're going to focus on David's kingship and Solomon, and then we'll get into the divided kingdoms after that. Are there any comments or additions that someone in the audience or on Zoom would like to share with us tonight? I thank everyone for participating and reading tonight, and it makes a class go fast for me, because you don't want to hear me all the time talking. With that, if there's no other comments.